I was going to preach on it. I think I still am, but I'm going to try to be sensitive to what the Lord wants to speak. So let's just pray. Lord, every time we come to your word, Lord, there's treasure. There are diamonds, Lord. There's all kinds of precious gems, because your word really is a treasure. And it has the treasure of wisdom, the wisdom of the ages. And Lord, unless you open it to us, unless you open our understanding that we can receive from you, Lord, you've given us great capacities. As human beings, you've given us minds, the ability to think and to reason. And yet, Lord, there's those areas that unless you open it to us, Lord, we could search and search and search, and we would never come to real understanding by our own reasonings. So, Lord, would you just help us to get a glimpse of spiritual truth and help us to apply it to our lives in such a way that we can be a testimony for you, that our lives can truly honor you and glorify you, and in some way, Lord, be able to speak into this culture because of the lives that we live and the testimony that we give of who you are, that you would draw others to yourself through our very lives. Jesus, we thank you for loving us and redeeming us. And Spirit of the living God, we thank you that you live within us. And you're always showing us Jesus. And he's always revealing the heart of the Father. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray for the kids back in the back, God, that each one of them would sense the touch of God upon their lives. And that they would not only sense something, Lord, but they would press in to know you. And that they would follow you and follow hard after you. That they would pursue you with a passion and a zeal and a desire to know all about you and to love you with all of their hearts, God. We pray for them, Lord. Would you please, please for our children, oh God, work in their lives that they might know the beauty of who you are and the power of your love and the power of your resurrection, Jesus. That's our prayer. And we thank you that you answer it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, actually when we, as we're going through Ephesians, we're not going through it now, but I think I've said before, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've said before that whenever Paul is writing a letter, it seems like he writes deep theological thoughts. I mean, things that are really, like Peter said, these things are hard to understand. How many of you have ever looked at some of the scripture, especially when you're reading Paul, and you say, man, I just don't get it? Yeah. How many of you can say that? I've been there. I'm still there at times. I read something, it's like, Lord, you got to open the scriptures to me because I just can't get this. And then, what do you know? The Lord does something. He shows you something. But Paul, it seems like whenever he's writing, whether it's in Romans or Colossians or here in Ephesians, he always brings out in the first part of the book that he's writing. And I think it's by God's design. Obviously it is. The scriptures are inspired by God. But what he does is he brings out deep theological truths. I mean, deep, the foundations of things. Things that are at the very core of who God is and what our relationship is with him. And on these foundations, then he builds the practical realities of life, of how to live your life based upon the truths that are foundational. For instance, if you don't know who God is, then you won't know how to respond to God. You won't know what to believe about God or how to live with God in a sense of a life of obedience. And so what Paul does is he always brings out theological truth, then he puts the practical application of that afterwards. Now, if you try to just do the practical applications of the word without understanding the foundations, you're going to fail all the time. What I mean by that is if you try to do something, try to be good in life. I was talking with a young fellow the other day, and He was talking about just being good. You know, he wants to be good. But if he doesn't understand what good is, trying to be something, if he doesn't understand what it is pretty impossible. If you're trying to be right with God, but you don't understand the sacrifice of Christ, it's pretty useless. Because what you'll do is you'll try to do things, you'll try to do works, you'll try to improve your life, you'll try to be nicer to people, or you'll try to do whatever you think is going to please God, to be right with God, but that's not how it works. It's just the opposite. You got to admit that you can't be right and you can't do anything good, and that the fact is that you're absolutely helpless without what he gives, which is called grace. That's why when you look at a book like Ephesians, you see, here are the things about God. Here's what he's done. Here's how he has set things in motion. And it's when we get in line with what he's done that we find freedom, we find joy, we find a life that is fulfilling. But if we're just trying to do things in order to make God accept us, what we've done is we've rejected the truth of the cross. We've rejected the truth of the gospel. And many people are living in that realm. Many of the people that you know, your friends, they may want to have a good life, but they're thinking, I have to change something to have a good life, to have a life that pleases God. I'm going to have to change something. And they don't understand. The only thing they can change is their attitude towards God and towards themselves. What they have to do is they have to look at who God is from his perspective, not from theirs. Kind of like what Bruce was talking about. It's not our conception of what God's like. It's his conception of what he's like. And if us getting in line with who he says he is. And when he says that we're broken and we're undone and we're helpless without him, it's us living in that reality. God, I'm absolutely helpless and broken without you. And I'm asking you to work in my life your strength. I'm asking you to work in my life your help so that I can be the kind of person you've created me to be. But we come at it backwards because that's what sin does. Sin twists everything around to where it's backwards. We try to come to God as lost people. If a lost person comes to God, they're trying to just get their life better. They're trying to do something to appease God. Well, if I quit doing this, maybe he'll accept me. Or if I start doing this, maybe he'll accept me. And that's completely backwards from the total emphasis of the scripture as far as what the gospel is all about, what freedom in Christ is all about. It's me coming as weak, undone, and unable, incapable. And I come to the God who is capable, who is completely able. And when he says he can make me new, he will do that by his grace. As I admit, I can't make myself new, only he can. He's the creator, not me. And so I yield myself to him. So where am I going with this? Well, in Ephesians, there's a thing here about children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. If you don't understand, now, I don't know how to say this. For kids, they're put under an obligation by God. And this is an obligation by God. Children, obey your parents. God puts that out, whether it's, now he's writing to believers, he's writing to a church, but he puts that out whether a kid's a believer or not. He's writing to a church, but think about it this way, in the Old Testament commandments, it was a commandment in the Old Testament, children, obey your parents. Now that's whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, but here's the thing. A child doesn't obey their parents to be made right with God. A child obeys their parents because it's the right thing that God says to do. Okay? You follow me? Maybe you're not following me because I'm not being clear enough. What it says is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right in the sight of God. It's the right thing to do. It's right because it will be beneficial to you. It's right because it will honor not only the Lord, but it'll honor your parents. Now, one of the signs of a culture that has, that is on a decline. One of the signs of a culture that is headed in a downward spiral is when there's evident and overt disobedience towards parents and towards authority in general. Whether it's it starts with parental authority, but it goes beyond that. It goes to any kind of authority, whether it's parents, whether it's government, whether it's in the church. Wherever you see disobedience to authority, it's a sign of a declining culture. Now, whether that culture is in the church or out, I'm talking to the culture outside of the church. One of the preeminent things when you want to know whether a culture is on the incline, and when I say incline, if it's growing spiritually, if it's moving forward in God, if the blessings of God are upon it, there's going to be a sense of honoring those that are in authority. And when you see people that are honoring the authority that are over it, whatever that authority is, whether it's government, whether it's the church, whether it's the family, when there's a sense of honoring, it's a sign that God is working in that generation, that there's something that God is doing, then he's preserving, not with the kind of preservatives we put in food that are unhealthy, he's preserving with something that's good. But anytime you see the decline of that or the backpedaling of obedience to authorities, what it is, it's a sign that the culture is declining. One of the things that we need to pray for as a congregation, as individual families, that is that God would restore within our circle, within our own families, within our church, within our surrounding community, that he would restore a sense of respect for authority. Because what that is, it's respect for God himself. Respect for authority over us is respect for God. That means whether it's in business, the home, the church, the government, when we respect, now it doesn't mean we have to agree with everything. It doesn't mean you have to say yes and put your stamp of approval on it. It means you respect it and the place of authority that they have. You don't try to overthrow their authority. You don't try to put down their authority. You don't try to malign their authority. What you do is you honor what God has allowed to be over you, what God has set over you, because ultimately everything in this world is under the authority of God. Everything. Nothing is outside of the authority of God. Now, when I say that, sometimes people will be a little bit shocked. They'll say, well, yeah, but what about this and what about this and what about this? When you understand the sovereignty of God, when I say sovereignty of God, it means that whatever happens has happened because God has allowed it to happen. It could not happen if he had not allowed it to happen. That's hard for us sometimes to grasp as people. Because then what we do is we start challenging God. We start saying, yeah, but God, what about this? How can you be sovereign? How can you be over all things when this bad stuff happens? How many of you fought with that? I guarantee you most of us in here have wondered about that. How can a good God let so many bad things happen? It's because we don't understand or we haven't really believed that God is both good and he is sovereign and he does truly work all things together for good to those that love him. We really don't believe that. When we start questioning, well, how come God does this, and how come he allows this? It's because we have a small conception of who God is. We don't see him for who he really is. He's the Lord over all the earth. He's the Lord over all the universe. Now, how does that come about with children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's because if God says this is what is right, I will either say it's right, and I will do it, because he says it's right, Or I will kind of say, well, you know, I don't think I should have to obey them. How many of us as adults have thought we didn't have to obey our parents? There are a lot of times I thought, well, I don't have to obey my parents. Now, I didn't always say it that way, but I just did what I wanted to do and didn't do what they told me to do or not to do. How many of us in here, you did what your parents said don't do, and you didn't do what they said do this? Right? The scripture says, children, obey your parents because it's right. Not because it's rational. Not because it's what's fun. Not because it's what feels good. Not because it's what everybody else does. Do it because it's right. That's where we come back to this thing with what is right. What is right is what God says is right. What is wrong is what God says is wrong. Regardless of our attitude towards it. If I say it's right and God says it's wrong, guess who's really right? If I say it's wrong and God says it's right, maybe I'm saying the same thing again. You know what I'm saying. Even if I don't know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Because you're right. Now, what does this have to do with Father's Day? Because this is about kids. Well, dads, now it's your turn. Who said that? Who? How hard is it for a child that is commanded by God to obey their parents? How difficult is that for them to do if their parents or parent is not worthy of respect and honor? They're not worthy. When I'm talking about worthy, I'm talking about here's a parent who is not what they should be before God, but says to their child, you obey me. And God holds the child responsible to obey that parent. What I'm trying to let you see is this. Parents, we have a huge responsibility before God to be the kind of people that make it easy for children to obey. If we're the kind of parents that make it difficult, in other words, because of our attitude, because of the way that we treat them, because of the way we discipline them, because of the way that we treat their mother, because of the way that we're either absent from their life, if we make it difficult, if we make it hard on them to do what God commands them to do, do you think that we're going to receive favor from God as men? No. See, because whenever, and I've said this many, many times, whenever God gives authority, who does he give the authority to, or why does he give the authority? For the benefit or the good of those under the authority. So in other words, when God gives authority to a father, it's for the benefit and the good of his wife and his children. It's not for him to be the boss. It's not for him to be the guy that's in charge. It is so that those that are under his authority blossom, they grow, they mature, and they can be all that God has created them to be because they've been under an authority that is both gracious and kind and loving and understanding and full of wisdom. And so when we look at a scripture like this, it's very simple. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because it's right. If I have to come before God and he says, did you make it easy for them to obey me? Or did you make it easy for them to obey you? What are you going to say? What am I going to say? I have to admit, as a dad, as a pastor, but as a dad, there were times I made it very difficult on Jenny to obey me. I did. Out of ignorance, out of stubbornness, out of immaturity. But there were times when I would tell her to do something, but the way I told her, it didn't make it easy. The way my attitude was, it didn't make it easy. I thank the Lord that at a young age she came to faith in Christ, and at a young age she learned how to walk with God, and at a young age that she learned to obey her parents, by and large. But I've said to Jenny, I've had to confess to her that I wasn't always the dad I should have been. Sometimes being a pastor, you're with people, and sometimes you neglect other things. I hope I never neglected you, Jen. I don't think I did, but, as dads, we can get so busy doing stuff, business. We, quote, provide for the family. But the thing that's needed the most for them, more than their happiness, more than the new iPhone, more than the new whatever it is, the thing that's needed most is your presence and a joyous presence. Your presence in their life, the joy of the Lord in your life as you interact with your kids, your devotion to your wife. Men, I'm speaking to you. Your devotion to your wife that's evident, that can be seen by the kids. When they see you with your wife, they see what real love looks like. They see what real gentleness looks like. They learn what it means to be a man if they're a boy, or what it means to be a woman if they're a girl. We have so much gender identity crisis in our nation right now, people don't know what they are. They're everything from fluid to whatever. And one of the main reasons is because of the breakdown of the family. People don't know whether they're men or women anymore, or whether they're both and, or either or. And a lot of that lays at the doorstep of the church. But that's a different message. I want you to see what it says here, though. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise. Honor them. Now, you all know the difference between obedience and honor? How many of you? Well, I'll share with you what it is. A child should obey their parents in the Lord. But should they obey their parents when their parent tells them to do something that's sinful? Then how is the child supposed to react? Let me give you an example, perfect example. Somebody calls on the phone, your child answers the phone, but before they do, you say, if it's so-and-so, tell them I'm not here. And I know none of us would do that. Or just tell them I'm not here. It doesn't even have to be so-and-so. Just tell them I'm not here. I'm not here. And you're standing right in front of them. Are you encouraging your child to lie? Are you teaching them to lie by doing that? Yes, you are. You're encouraging them to be untruthful. How is a child supposed to handle that? Now you tell me, how is a child supposed to handle that? Should they get in your face and say, I'm not going to do that? How are they supposed to handle that? These are the real things that happen with families all the time. It happens with parents and children. Now, here's what you should teach your child. What you should teach your child is, I want you to always obey me unless I tell you to do something that violates God's word. And if I tell you to do something that violates God's word, you can respectfully decline and say, I can't do that, Daddy or Mommy, because God tells me I shouldn't do that. You teach them how to discern between right and wrong by your very actions. You can do that when they're little, when they're big. But any time that we ask our child to do something or say something that goes contrary to God's word, what we're doing is we're instructing them not in righteousness, but in unrighteousness. So what's the difference between obedience and honor? Here's the thing. A child should always honor their parents. What that means is respect the place that God has put them. God has put the parent over the child. Now, for parents, what that means is we have to look at it as this is not just my kid. This isn't my kid. This is God's creation that he's put in my care. This is God's child by creation, not by redemption, not unless they've come to Christ, but this is God's child by creation. They belong to God, not to me. And I have a duty to God to care for this child, provide for this child, love this child, train this child. And I'm going to use the word be fair with this child. I know that's a kind of a murky word, but I have a responsibility to be just, let's put it that way, with this child. I can't be unjust with them. I can't treat them unjustly. I can't convict them before I've heard evidence. I can't say you're guilty before I know for sure. See, because if I'm going to care for them, if I'm going to produce a godly child, which really only God can do, but he works through vessels. He works through us as parents. What I have to do is I have to be so totally honest with this child as far as my own sinful habits, my own sinful tendencies, my own weaknesses, that I'm willing to instruct them. If I ever say or instruct you to do something that goes against God's word or things that I've taught you are right, I expect you to respectfully, honorably decline. You don't have to obey me if I tell you to sin. You don't. But you must always be respectful of me and honor me as your father. So in that case, how would a child do this? Dad, I really can't. You've taught me not to. I'm sorry. I want to obey you. And everything you tell me to do, I want to obey you. But I can't do that because you're asking me to disobey God. Now, how would you respond if your child said, when you told them, tell them I'm not here, they said, Daddy, I can't do that because you've taught me not to lie? Now, this isn't for condemnation. In no way. This is all instructional. This is because what this is saying is, children, you have a responsibility to obey your parents. Parents, you have a responsibility to make it easy for them to obey God. Don't make it hard on them. Don't make it difficult on them. Don't make it something that it's so hard for them to obey God that now they are there, it makes it easy for them to rebel. It makes it easy for them to go away from God. Many times as parents, we have good intentions, but we have such wrong methods. We have good intentions, but our motive might be right in one sense, but we just don't know how to do it right. When I got married, I had no idea how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a husband, much less a father. And then Jenny comes along. I mean, she's a handful. And she knows I'm always joking when I say that. But I had no clue of how to be a dad. And you try to muddle your way through this. Most of you fathers in here, some of you are older guys, like me. But some of you young guys, and some of you guys that aren't even fathers yet, but you're going to be probably. You're entering into a whole new world. You know, it's one of those things where no man has gone before. But no, they really have gone before. But listen, there's no... The only school that you'll get about being a father is this. I mean, this is the best schooling you'll ever get. You find out what God's word says, and you obey it yourself, and you teach your children. But the fact is, you dads, just like me, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing without the instruction of the Lord. And you'll make a ton of mistakes. You know the one thing that's going to help you more than anything else through all the mistakes that you make? You got it, humility. Honesty before your wife, your children. When you're honest with them of, I failed at this. I didn't do what I should have done. I did what I shouldn't have done. I was wrong. The best thing you can do is first live honorably before the Lord, obey Him. When you mess up, honesty. I messed up. Will you forgive me for what I said, what I did, how I acted? Genuine repentance and confession before those that you've hurt, whether it's a child, a wife, brother, sister, whatever it is, you humble yourself before God and before those that you've offended. And the scripture says if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. If you don't humble yourself, God has a unique way of humbling you. And sometimes it can be sometimes it's through your very children that you didn't raise as you should have raised. Sometimes that comes back to humble you. I don't know if this message is making any sense, but fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Some of us in here have angry kids, wrathful kids. And some of it is not because of their friends. It's not because of the school they go to. It's not because of the neighbor's kids next door. It's because in our own lives, they have not seen a consistency of what it means to be a Christian. We have the words up here and the life down here. And until those things get brought together and they see a consistency of this is what I believe and this is how I behave, they will get more and more angry, because what we will do is we'll say we're this, but then we'll treat them like this. We'll treat them with, we'll be angry and tell them not to be angry. We'll be unfair, but teach them you got to be fair. We'll be untruthful, but we'll say to them you've got to be truthful. And then the confusion comes in and they don't know how to handle it. And so what happens? They get angry because their world doesn't make sense. They get angry because what they hear is the right thing. They're not seeing us live out. And when that comes into the life of a child, what they say is, life doesn't make sense. And then you tell them about God, and they say, yeah? Are you lying about that too? They want to know. Many times it's not the kids rejecting God. They're rejecting the way that we have lived before them. Now, I'm not saying that's always so. There are guys, men and women, who live a godly life, because we have to understand that if you have a rebellious child, that child has a will of their own. You can't make them love God. You can't make them. But you can set the groundwork that would make it easier. But they still have a freedom to choose to whether love God, hate God, walk with God, walk away from God. So if you've walked with God and you've got a rebellious child, don't say, well, it's my fault. Some people say, well, I disagree with that. My perception of this is this way. God, who is the perfect father, had a son. His name was Adam. He made him. Put him in a garden, gave him everything he needed. And that son rebelled through no fault of the father. Father hadn't done anything wrong. It was the will of the child that said, I'm going to do what Dad said don't do. So if you're in here and you've got a child if you see a child that's walking in rebellion, don't assume that you failed all the way through. That's not necessarily so. If you have failed, acknowledge it. I was wrong here. Repent, Ask God for forgiveness and He will forgive you. Ask Him to help you rebuild and restructure. So does that make sense? Okay. So I can throw my notes away, right? Because I know some of you saying you should have used their notes. I want to just say, dads, it's a real honor for me to, it's an honor to be a dad. It really is. I can't think of anything better than having a child and being given the privilege by God to raise that child, to instill in that child values, and to give them a sense of worth and purpose, and most of all, to give them the knowledge of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. To give them that, to put that in, kind of put it in their portfolio so that they understand that there's a God that loves and cares about them. Dads, we have a huge responsibility, bigger than we know. But we have a God that's bigger than the responsibility we have. That's the good news. God is bigger than the responsibility He's given us, and He will give us the grace and the ability to accomplish. So if you feel like you're a failure as a dad, you may be right now. You may be failing in some areas, but God's grace is bigger. And if you draw near to Him, He will give you the resources, the skills, the abilities, the wisdom. He will give you everything you need, not only for your life and not only for the way that you should live, but He'll give you everything you need to be a good dad, because He's that good. Okay, let's stand. The altar team will be up here if there's anybody that needs prayer. I would encourage you, if you feel like you've failed as a parent, there's only two things you can do. You can either just mope around and be upset and be angry and frustrated, or you can just go to God and say, Father, help me. I need help. And He'll give you that. Good idea. My help meet has just suggested something I think is really good. You may have parents that have failed you. You may want to come up and just pray for them. Pray that God would touch their lives. Pray that God would help them to see where the failures are. Some of you may be even living in a place where because of the way your parent was, your dad or your mom, you become bitter. Maybe you've let a root of bitterness come in to your life because they weren't what they should have been. What you may need to do is repent and ask God to forgive you for allowing bitterness in your heart towards that person, and asking God to forgive them as you forgive them. So a lot of different things you can do with this message. The main thing is that you ask God, what do you want me to do with this? Where do I go from here? Because he'll tell you, I can't, but He can. So Father, I want to thank You for each one of the men in this church, each one that, especially that's a dad. Lord, would You please? Lord, please help them. They have such a heavy, heavy responsibility. Especially, Lord, in the culture that we live in. It's not like in the garden where everything was perfect. Lord, we have a world around us that's throwing slings and arrows all the time. And our kids are being assailed by everything imaginable. God, we just need help. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of men we should be, to live responsibly before You and before them. Give us strength, give us grace, give us wisdom, give us gentleness, Lord. Our kids need gentleness today. They need understanding, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us to be men that are respectful of You and are respectable in our lives, so that our kids can find it easy, Lord, to both obey us and also to honor us, because we're honorable. So God, lead us. I pray, God, that you would lead us by your Spirit to be all that you've created us to be and all that you've empowered us to be by your gracious gift of salvation through Jesus. So, Lord, as we go from here today, just go with us, Lord. We know that you will because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. So wherever we go, let us be mindful that you're there and we represent you. In Jesus' name, amen.